Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Good morning and welcome back to the Fresh Daily Show. This, of course, is the bite-sized version, as I call it, of the Christian Whistleblower Show that's heard every Wednesday night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Intrepid Paradigm Broadcasting Network, IPBNFM.com. You can go to my website, JeffreyDardy.com or ChristianWhistleblower.com to find out more information. We're actually doing a lot more radio now. We have the Fresh Daily Show, which is brought to you by Fresh Daily Co. Gourmet coffee and skateboarding. Go to FreshDailyCo.com to find out more and tell them that the Christian Whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy, sent you for a nice little discount. And we're doing the Fresh Daily Show, and of course that's Fresh Daily at 10 a.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. At noon, we're also doing the Ask Questions, Question Answers show. And then at 11 at night on Sunday night, we're doing the Pure Prophecy show. Ask Question, Question Answers is over on Spreaker. Pure Prophecy is right here again on Blog Talk Radio. And then, of course, Wednesday night, the flagship show, the Christian Whistleblower, for 2 hours. And check out JeffreyDardy.com. Check out ChristianWhistleblower.com. My books, Apostle Paul Antichrist, Diamond New Testament, are there. My e-books are there. And also, by the end of today, today being Tuesday, June 30th, I'll have the audiobook version of the Diamond New Testament completed. Or let's say at least by tomorrow, July 1st, we'll have the Diamond New Testament audio version completed, so you can be able to go there and find out about that. Now, last time when we opened up and started talking about Plastic Jesus, we talked about the New Testament being in a complete jumbled order as to when the books were written. And it's funny, all the books written by the apostles, they couldn't get those in the correct order. But all the books written by the false apostle, the imposter Paul, all those are in perfect chronological order. And the reason is clear. When the books are in perfect chronological order, it allows you to follow the development of thought and doctrine much more easily. They want you to understand the development of Paul's doctrine. As I take a sip of my fresh daily coffee, as the New Testament books are jumbled for all the other writers, the Yeshua movement writers, it makes it impossible to understand and follow the development of doctrine. It makes it appear like the New Testament was Jesus, the apostles, then Paul, bringing us the deep stuff, then prophecy. That could not be any more false. The New Testament is actually a back-and-forth battle for the hearts and minds of men between the forces of the Yeshua movement and the forces of the Apostle Paul. And we saw how the dancing bear of Antioch was actually born on the road to Antioch, where Paul had a vision that's very familiar and famous to those of you that have any Christian background. where Paul was knocked from his beast. Don't know if it was a camel or a donkey, which bothers me, but I can't seem to nail that down empirically, objectively from study. But at any rate, he's knocked from his beast. Depending upon which version you believe, which version that Paul wrote that is believable, because they're all contradictory, and we'll get to that at some point. The guys with him either saw the voice, either saw the light, heard the voice, or didn't, depending upon which time Paul is telling the story. But at any rate, Paul saw a being that he identified as Jesus, appeared to him in a great flash of light. This being gives him his calling, allegedly. This being empowers him. And the writings of Paul are off and running as soon as he gets to Antioch. Interestingly enough, though, we saw that Yeshua saw this very same being, very same language being used, and what Paul identified as Jesus, Yeshua identified as Satan. What Paul identified as Jesus, Yeshua identified as Satan. But we went and didn't just leave it there, even as spectacular as that is. But Yeshua, I believe, really meant the word Satan in its proper usage, which is an adversary. So what Paul saw as Jesus, Yeshua saw as Satan, or an adversary. So that was a very significant difference. And Paul did see Jesus. He saw what we call plastic Jesus, or the fake Jesus, the fake Son of God, the fake Savior, the fake Son of God, the fake Jesus. That's plastic Jesus. And when you use the name Jesus, and there was no J until the 17th century, so his name could not possibly have been Jesus. When you use the name Jesus, it's like a magic word that throws you into a spiritual place and a harmonic place that you can't understand truth, that you can't get a reality, and it puts you into a dark place where you receive nothing but unbalanced energy and information. That's why I don't use the name, except to describe, of course, plastic Jesus. That's why we call him by his real name, which is Yeshua. But at any rate, we found out that the dancing bear of Antioch was born on the road to Antioch. Paul seeing a being that he identified as Jesus, Yeshua identified as plastic Jesus. It was really the Lord pretending to be Jesus, and we're going to see as we continue to study that he's going to do that again on a much wider scale, probably not too far from now, as I sit here speaking on the last day of June in 2015, but more on that. And Yeshua, of course, saying that it was Satan or an adversary, and in Acts 9, the entity identifies itself as Jesus. I believe this is the Lord, and he's going to do this again, and I'll show this to you in the days and months to come. It was this Jesus who Yeshua called Satan or adversary. It is this person that actually called and commissioned the Apostle Paul. Think of that. In Acts chapter 9, this entity who identifies itself as Jesus, this very same entity that Yeshua has identified as Satan or an adversary, it is this same entity that gives Paul his calling. It's this same entity that gives Paul his commission. It's the very same entity, and by the way, attacked him, blinded him, and instructed him. That was the Lord, and I'll show you and prove that to you as we come in the days and weeks and months ahead. But Yeshua ID'd this Jesus as Satan or an adversary. Paul is credited with the authorship of Acts. Let me give you a little historic footnote, though. And this I didn't find out until maybe 5 months ago, 6 months ago at the most. Again, Yeshua identifying this entity as Satan or an adversary, Paul identifying this entity as Jesus, me saying it was the Lord, and if you listen to the regular Christian Whistleblower show or read any of my writings or listen to any of my other radio or videos at jeffreydarty.com or christianwhistleblower.com, you'll see that I've proven from the scripture that the Lord, yes, the Lord that, you know, the Lord your God, the Lord that we've long thought was the Father of Jesus, the Lord that we've long thought was the God of the Old Testament, is actually this adversary, this Satan, and he's a reptilian form. And believe it or not, we've proven that completely, and we'll continue to do so here in the weeks and months to come. But an interesting point as to all of that, there's a forensic clue here. And we find it in Acts chapter 9, verse number 18, where when Saul/Paul regains his sight, he does so only after something falls from his eyes. And think about this. If it's really Jesus, if it's really Yeshua, the true man from Nazareth, when have you ever seen him attack a man? When have you ever seen him knock a man from a beast? When have you ever seen him blind a man? The real Yeshua doesn't attack. The real Yeshua comforts. The real Yeshua is not an attacker. The real Yeshua is the Prince of Peace. The real Yeshua has never knocked a man or a woman down. He's in the business of picking people up. And the real Yeshua does not blind people. The real Yeshua heals the blind that they might see. Do you get that? That's good stuff. Paul's Jesus attacked him. Paul's Jesus knocked him down. Paul's Jesus blinded him. The real Yeshua will not attack you. He will embrace you. The real Yeshua will not knock you down, he will pick you up. The real Yeshua will not blind you, but he will remove the blindness that you might be able to see clearly. And you should be able, just from these little bits of information, to clearly see that Paul's Jesus was not Jesus. It was, in fact, Satan or the adversary that Yeshua identified him to be. And this wasn't in the original broadcast of the Christian Whistleblower Show. So this fresh daily show is serving its purpose, chopping down a two-hour show into smaller bite-sized bits for people that can't listen for 2 hours. And the more we talk about it, the more we study it, we get nuances that come out that weren't there before. So I'm very glad to be doing this fresh daily show. Fresh daily. But back to the forensic evidence. Something fell from Paul's eyes, which led him to see, and what fell from his eyes? Scales. And if you look into that word, you see that they were scales as of a reptile. Folks, I don't make it up. I just bring it to you. Scales of a reptile fell from Paul's eyes, scales that were blinding him, scales that were put there by the entity Yeshua identified as an adversary and a entity that we have identified as being reptilian in nature, i.e. the scales, the reptilian scales falling from his being Paul, his eyes, after he was blinded by this entity. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Now, the book of Acts is credited to Paul as being written by him. In actuality, Luke, the scribe of Paul, is the one that wrote the book. Paul was unable to see well enough to write, so he employed Luke to act as his scribe. And I believe that this is one of the first instances we have in the Bible of what I call cool hand Luke. Luke actually became disenchanted with Paul for many reasons, which we will go into more in the weeks and months to come. And I believe that the evidence shows that Luke began to slip in codes and little secrets into the scripture that identify Paul as a false apostle, this being one of them, using the very same words that Jesus, the very same words that Yeshua used of a satanic adversary, and have Paul describing this satanic adversary as Jesus. And by the way, Luke was there when Yeshua called this entity a satanic adversary, the same entity that Paul calls Jesus. It was called in Luke chapter 10, around verse 18, 19. It was when Jesus said that this entity that Paul saw was Satan or an adversary, because Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven as a bolt of lightning. Paul says, I saw a bolt of lightning, very same exact language, and yo, it was Jesus. And Luke was there. Luke was one of the 70 apostles that were rejoicing that Satan and the demons in that translation were subject to them. And Yeshua said, hey, listen, don't be excited about that. Rather be excited that you're on your way back to the Father. But at any rate, Luke was there, heard Yeshua call this very same bolt of lightning, bright light entity, a satanic adversary. And he takes the very same words, puts them in the mouth of Paul, perhaps, or maybe Paul really did say it, but it directly links Paul's Jesus, plastic Jesus, to the satanic adversary as identified by Yeshua. That is some pretty amazing stuff, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, stuff you won't hear anywhere else. For better or worse, I'm the only one that does what I do. And this is the only place that you're going to hear this kind of stuff. And we're trying to get you free. We're trying to get you to the place where you can hear truth, and truth will set you free, where at least you can begin to get an objective mind, where you can begin to consider other information. Now, we talked about the gap in the New Testament narrative. The New Testament goes on, if you're talking about the real timeline, it started in 42 with the, or 47 with the book of James, rolls right up until AD 68. Then there's a gap, a 22-year gap from AD 68 through until the writings of the Apostle John begin in AD 90. And even in the false timeline created by the people that are trying to promote the Gospel of Paul, their first book starting in AD 66, jumping all around. But again, the last book they use is in AD 60, big gap from all the way again till AD 90. So there's a 22-year gap in the writing of books of the New Testament, a 22-year gap, and it starts about AD 68. It lasted from AD 68 to 90, and you have to ask the question, what happened between AD 68 and AD 90 that would cause the writing of the New Testament to be interrupted? Well, what happened was the destruction of Jerusalem. That occurred in AD 70, and a horrific event. But what we don't really see and understand is the unseen and the untold implications of the destruction of Jerusalem. The destruction of Jerusalem created this distortion, or at least created the opportunity for this distortion, that has distorted the real timeline and created a false timeline in which we all now live. Jerusalem was the headquarters and the power base of the original Yeshua movement. I mean that all the apostles lived there. Yeshua lived there. That's where they taught. That's where they preached. And they were very, very strong. There were people being added to the movement every day. It was numbering, no doubt, in the tens of thousands. And they had become so strong that they were pretty much able to push the message of Paul out into the provinces. Jerusalem was undoubtedly the headquarters and the power base of the original Yeshua movement. Pollyannity, the plastic Jesus, he wasn't welcome in Jerusalem. He could get no traction there. His message just wasn't taking hold in the city of Jerusalem. He wasn't able to gain followers there or converts there enough really to mention. And Paul, he was starring in a one-man show all of his own teaching, his own doctrine, his own followers. He wasn't a one-man show, but it was definitely an off-Broadway show. He wasn't playing on the, what do they call it, the Silver Mile, Broadway. He wasn't playing on Broadway. Broadway was the exclusive domain of Yeshua and the Yeshua movement. They were the stars of the show, to carry our analogy. They were the Tony Award winners. If you don't know, the Tony Award is basically the Academy Award for stage productions. And that is where you will see all the Broadway stars. That's who win Tony Awards. So the Yeshua movement was on Broadway. The Yeshua movement was the Tony Award winners. Paul basically kicked out of the city. No traction there. He was starring in a one-man show, but it was off Broadway. But when the city of Jerusalem fell under the sandals, if you will, of the Roman army, the original Yeshua movement's base, its headquarters, were, of course, destroyed. When the city fell, so did the base of the original Yeshua movement. And in that, the very biggest obstacle, the very biggest impediment to the Pauline message was removed. The biggest objection, obstacle to plastic Jesus, the biggest obstacle to the message of Paul given to him by this satanic adversary as identified by Yeshua was removed, which has made me wonder, and I'm still searching the historical record. I'm still looking for some empirical evidence to be able to make this statement, but I have to wonder if the crushing of the original Yeshua movement was not at least a subtext for the destruction of Jerusalem. Why did the Romans destroy that city so thoroughly? Why did the Romans go to the extent of pulling apart every block of the temple? Why did they go to the extent of plowing the very area where the temple was located? It was almost as if they were looking for something. It was almost as if they were dedicated to destroying every word, every jot, every tittle, every line, every piece of writing of the original Yeshua movement. And to further add to this subtext that I am investigating, it seems certain that Paul knew that the destruction of Jerusalem was coming. He left just before it. How would he have known? Well, it's possible that plastic Jesus told him, but it's also very likely that Paul would have known simply because his family made tents for the Roman legions, and it's very possible they could have let Paul know about a great big order they just got for siege-class tents, and Paul put two and two together and said, uh-oh, they're coming for Jerusalem. Paul was also a Roman citizen, so he was had connections into that world and would hear rumors. And he was also a friend of Nero. And Nero, of course, would have been the one to have authorized any military action against the city of Jerusalem, or at least the preparations for it. Nero himself was, it's close historically, but Nero himself was probably deposed and, of course, committed ritual suicide before the troops actually Jerusalem, but he was still in power when the attack was planned and when the armies were dispersed. But of course, he was not alive when the actual attack occurred. He'd been deposed, if you will. But Josephus shows that Paul was still in Rome at that time, still living in the palace. Very, very interesting things. And, you know, I just wondered, I started thinking about this. Paul leaves just before the destruction of Jerusalem. And if you look at the exit of Paul from Jerusalem, it's at the Antonio Fortress. And he's arrested by Roman soldiers. There's a huge crowd of people there. And these Roman soldiers, in violation of any and every strategic and logical military move, allow a prisoner to address a crowd, which is completely ridiculous. It's a military absurdity. And they allow this prisoner to address a crowd in a foreign language. How did they know he wasn't saying, this rich guy, $10,000 to everyone that'll rush these soldiers right now and set me free? They wouldn't have known. That's why they wouldn't have let him talk to a crowd in a foreign language. It's a military absurdity. And it shows Paul called back to Rome, a spy being called in from the cold. And Josephus does put Paul in the palace in Rome as late as A.D. 68, A.D. 69. So there's a lot more to it than what we've been told. There's a lot more to it than what we've been taught. There's a lot more going on than that which is allowed to meet our eyes as observers here some 2,000 years later. So that is an introduction to Jesus. On my website at jeffreydarty.com and christianwhistleblower.com, under the radio tab, you can find the full version of the Plastic Jesus Show, the full two-hour version, or you can continue to listen here on the Fresh Daily Show as we break down the two-hour show into bite-sized nuggets for those that can't listen for a whole 2 hours, and bring out nuances that have been discovered since the first broadcast and have come to mind since the first broadcast, or were just omitted for the sake of time. But we'll be back tomorrow with more of the Fresh Daily Show. Check out my website, jeffreydarty.com, christianwhistleblower.com, for books, for audio recordings, for articles, for the Religion Watch daily information. And until tomorrow, I am Jeffrey Darty, the Christian Whistleblower, and I'm wishing you peace and enlightenment.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Darty and Jeffrey Darty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit christianwhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.